Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome your Carolina Panthers.
Hey, yeah, relax. Yeah, take a deep breath.
Oh yeah, I'm hot.
If you really upset, bomb on me so I can go inside. Okay. You got me?
Yeah.
Like, loosen a tooth.
Yeah.
Okay?
No.
I won't press no charges. You can even play the whole season. No game suspension, none of that.
All right? Yeah.
I may even give you some money. All right? I don't want to make you laugh. Okay?
Cat scratch fever.
There's nothing here, baby.
Cat scratch fever.
I can't quit now. Yeah, I keep my focus, man. I keep my focus. We're going to find out how far we can push ourselves.
Another episode of Cat Scratch Radio. I'm Jackson, your host, here to talk Carolina Panther football once again. 90 solid minutes of Panther talk, including the latest news and notes. In particular, we've got a couple of roster cuts that just went down. We'll talk about those, including a fan favorite, Mike Tolbert, the old Toll-dozer. He's been around for a few years now, so, you know, it's kind of tough to see him go. The guy's got so much personality and has always been good for a pretty colorful TD dance. And, you know, he's been, you know, one of those, you know, heart and soul type of guys as he's been here in Carolina. So, you know, in that regard for me, it's kind of tough to see him go. You know. Who knows? He might be back. Or, you know, maybe this represents a type of change in the offense that we've been talking about. So we'll dig into that a little bit more. I see I got some callers out on the line. And we'll get around the horn here. But, of course, I got my trusty sidekick, Brian. What's up?
Hey, Jack.
How's it going?
Not pretty good. I was a little bit shocked myself to see the news today. Not to say I didn't think it was feasible, but I didn't think it was going to happen that quickly. I figured they might give him a shot in training camp, but hey, I think that may have been the right move for them to let him go prior to free agency, because maybe a team will see something in him that they want and sign him during the free agency period.
Yeah, I mean, he very well could be back, but this move was about, you know, probably the money involved.
That wasn't that much money involved, though.
Was it not? I was actually just in the process of looking it up now that I said that.
I think it was only, maybe saved, a couple mil or so.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, in the grand scheme of things with Dave Gettleman, that's probably a free agent, but still,
Paul Soley, I understand. $350 in dead money, $350K.
Yeah.
So that's not too bad. Not a real big savings. Maybe more along the lines of,
it looks like they were saving themselves a little under $1.5 million, which is really not that much, but.
Yeah.
As you said, you know, it could be a transition into a new kind of offense, and Tolbert doesn't really fit the pure fullback model, so they could go with a pure fullback. Maybe Darryl Young is supposed to be that guy, or maybe they're just going to eliminate the fullback position altogether, like it's been said many times.
Yeah, to me it kind of puts a little more spin into the thought that they're going to go more two tight end sets, and. So we could bring in another pass-catching tight end via free agency or the draft, a.k.a. I'm O.J. Howard, I'm a big fan. So, that would make sense to me if they thought, you know, we're just going to take the fullback out of the offense. And, I mean, they just don't really use him that much anyway.
Yeah, last year, Ed Dixon essentially functioned as a fullback more often than Tolbert actually did. And honestly, Eric brought it up earlier, a.k.a. Tater, but he was saying that Ed Dixon is probably waiting by the phone shivering right now because he could be next.
Yeah. He could be. Now, I will note we still have two fullbacks on the roster. You know, Devin Johnson,
yep,
and this Darryl Young,
yep,
who's no, you know, spring chicken. He's set on his seventh season, so could
yeah,
this be
he was
that, just want a younger guy.
No,
that's all right. Go ahead.
I was just gonna say, if you remember when Alfred Morris was like all the rage in fantasy football way back when he was with the Redskins, Darryl Young was his fullback.
Ah, okay. For Alfred Morris.
Yeah, so he's he was the fullback for Alfred Morris, so he's definitely no slouch when it comes to power running offenses.
And this Devin Johnson didn't necessarily play bad. And I think he's the one they called Ironhead or something like that, didn't they?
Rockhead,
that's it.
Yeah, I remember, I forget what happened, but I had someone from Marshall reach out to me when he was signed to ask me what his real chances were of making the roster. And I didn't really have a whole lot to say, but I actually dug into the guy more because of that. And he seems like a very, like, another Mike Tolbert-type player. I don't know what kind of speed he's got, and he never even saw the field because he had some back injury lingering from college, but he's very much, from what I gathered, one of a rushing power back who isn't afraid to hit people and block. So it's very possible that he'll get some really good looks in training camp to really see what's going on if his back's healed up.
Yeah. I mean, Tolbert's 31. Signed, this time last year he signed a 2-year, $3.6 million contract. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I guess we'll have to see. You know, this could be they see a replacement, could be a change in the offense. Tell you what, I got Goose Creek on the line. I invited him. What's up, GC?
How you doing, guys?
So
hey,
I'm just curious, what's your thoughts on the Tolbert thing? You think it was more scheme-related? Was it just Tolbert's performance? Was it younger players are probably going to be better than him? What's your thoughts?
I think it was just diminished returns on the money. And you were talking about Rockhead. I don't know if you remember. I actually wrote did a post on him before the draft saying he ought to come to the Panthers.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what?
I
remember
that.
Yep.
He was a tight end, and Marshall put him in the backfield because they had all the running backs get hurt, and the first thing he did is went in and had like a 200-yard game or something similar to that, just running over people. And after that, they never got him out of the back.
No, go ahead. He's an H-back. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. He functioned like an H-back from what I gathered from – I never actually watched any film on him, but that's what I gathered is that he was more of an H-back type player, which guys like Charles Clay have succeeded in the league doing that. So
it's kind of a return to the Richie Brockle type player on the roster, huh?
I think so.
I think he's a better runner than Brockle, though.
So that's a plus.
Say that one more time, GC.
I said he can catch out of the backfield, so that's a plus.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. All I said was he can run, too. Definitely better runner than Richie Brockle. So I think he brings a little more to the table. It's just a matter of whether he can block or not.
And I guess whether he's over his injury, right?
Yep.
That's the big question.
Well, the other cut was Paul Sly, if I'm saying that correctly. Hell, I never knew if I was. I guess not a
big
surprise.
It wasn't like there was much to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't really play that much. You know, he was a rotating person in there, and, you know, he could be somebody we end up bringing back, just like, you know, how many times did we bring back Kevin Love?
I don't see that happening because we got more out of Colin Cole and more out of Kyle Love with a lot less money involved, and he was just non-impact whatsoever.
Yeah, he did not do much. I'll have to pull up his stats here.
I think he had 5 tackles.
That was it? Wow.
Really? Yeah. Yeah, we paid that guy, what, like $4 million? Or maybe $2 million a season for 5 tackles? Like, are you kidding me?
I want to say it was at least $2 million.
Yeah. He was going to be, I think he was supposed to be the heir apparent to the Colin Cole thing where they could put him in at nose tackle and let Star play under tackle.
Yeah, he was supposed to a couple of defenders, and he never did that. I mean, offensive lineman, but he never did that.
Yeah, he got a 2-year, $6.5 million contract. That's definitely more than I thought. $3 million guaranteed. So he took home $3 million for that year.
Well, he came from Atlanta, and that was while Atlanta was in the middle of the build. He was their best defensive interior lineman when he was there, so he was having 2 players against him. But when he came to the Panthers, that wasn't the case. They could single up on him, and he wasn't produced.
Yeah. 4 tackles in 7 games. That ain't going to get it. So, yep, that's a $1 million in dead money.
Yeah, better to cut their losses now. I mean, they got Butler. They still have Love if they really want him. Like, those 4 guys that they have right now were fine. So I think they'll still be picking around for the big bodied nose tackle they can use to spell Star a little bit, but not a huge loss.
No, not really. Yeah. I saw we also brought back the Creed Bomb, Ben Jacobs, special teamer.
Definitely the best signing so far.
Yeah.
Didn't they move him from linebacker to, like, safety or?
No, you're thinking of, what is that guy's name? Brian Bleschen.
Oh, okay, from Utah. Okay.
Yeah, the Bleschen guy who played safety there. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, they tried to make him a linebacker like Jeremy Cash, and it didn't work out too well. But I know they used him in the preseason at safety as well. So Bleschen is now a safety again. So we'll see where that goes.
We've always had luck with players from Utah for some reason.
That is true, actually.
Well, is Bletchen still on the roster?
Yeah, they signed him to a future contract towards the end of the season.
Oh, yeah, there he is. Yeah, doesn't even have a number yet.
Yeah, he had a number last year, and then he lost it. Now he has it again.
Yeah. Well, still nothing.
You guys
want to
talk about Victor Cruz a little bit?
Front. Huh?
I was going to ask, you want to talk about Victor Cruz a little bit? We're on the topic of free agency.
Yeah, and then tell you what, we'll talk about Cruz, and I see I got Durst on the line. We'll bring him in, and I got a couple others.
Yeah, CP's
on
collars
out there. Yeah, Victor Cruz kicking the tires on him, huh?
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. I mean, it's Dave Gettleman. I'm pretty sure he had something to do with them signing him as well, initially, the Giants. So it seems like the Panthers will have been kicking the tires on the receivers the last few years. I mean, it didn't really work out with Hakeem Nicks, but Cruz brings that skill set to the table that they really didn't have last year, which is someone who can get open underneath on short routes.
It's going to be about how healthy he can prove. He's probably had a physical. I think he can help us. You know, kind of just like a Jericho Cotchery, at least, you know, that veteran presence, even though they're very different players, he could still fill that kind of a role, I think, as a clutch guy and some experience out there. And we can't actually sign anybody until March 9th, right? You can't sign anybody until the 9th. So,
no, there's no signing. Well, no, because he was cut already, I think. I think he's a different story because he's not technically under contract still. I think everybody who's like a pending free agent can't be signed yet, but guys like Cruz who were let go can be signed.
Right, cut players can, that's right.
Yep.
But I think
it would make sense
for Cruz to
test the market.
They can go ahead and be signed, but I think the deal doesn't actually start until the 9th or something, right? Don't they do these deals from one league year to the next?
Yeah, they usually agree to, like, deals in principle with those kind of guys.
Oh, I was
but
just reading,
it would behoove him to – go ahead.
Our writer that put this post up, he even mentioned Jericho Cotchery. I just saw that.
I think Cruz is not going to sign any deal right now because he's not the kind of player where, like, no team wants him. There's going to be a team out there that he's going to be able to help other than the Panthers. So I think he's going to go test the market, see what he's getting offered, see what compared to his asking price. So.
I think a free agent would look to Carolina as a good place to go in spite of the 6-10 season, especially a wide receiver. With a Cam Newton at quarterback who, you know, likes to throw downfield.
Yep, and he's at his best when he's spreading the ball around.
And I haven't read any of the comments to that post, but I gotta bet it's pretty positive. So, GC, you're gonna have to work on your salsa dance, man.
That's what I said. He could take up Tolbert's slack on the dance department.
He's probably a little bit smoother at it, I think. That's good. All right. Well, got Durst on the line. What's up, Durst?
Hey, guys. How you guys doing?
Good. So,
Goose Creek. While I was waiting to get called in, I was thinking about whether or not you were going to come in and talk about Johnson, because I do remember that article you published last year.
Yeah, I liked him. I thought he was a fit just in that place to take over for Tolbert.
Sure. So, of course, there are a couple of good free agents out there. I can't remember all the names now, but, the Ravens, the Patriots, and Atlanta all have a free agent pullback that I don't think any of them have re-signed yet. And then PFF, I dialed in a little bit late. I don't know if anybody else mentioned this, but PFF rated Tolbert 16th out of 17 graded fullbacks in 2016.
Yeah.
Yeah, he wasn't very good.
I'll tell you, though, that
you know, before they bring in
the Eagles
back, I think they would probably look at running backs and go with what they've got on the roster to look at that H-back slot, because there's going to be players available even into training camp. If they don't look like they're coming out with the young guys or their new guys, they can always reach back and grab one. There's not a big demand for the fullback.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really like the guy from Baltimore, Juszczyk, I think is how you pronounce it, or Juszczyk,
yeah,
or something like that.
Yeah, he was a fullback out a few years ago.
Yeah, I liked what I saw out of him in the few times I got to see him play. He even subbed in at tight end a little bit for him when they had their little rash of injuries there last year. Not last year, the year before that. I like him. I like the Falcons guy. I think that's Patrick DeMarco.
Yeah, he's the only guy whose name I could pronounce.
Yeah, and then the fullback from New England, I couldn't remember his name either, but he was part of a power rushing attack with Garrett Blunt, so that's definitely something Carolina wants to run. Just depends on how many other teams want to use a fullback, and how sold Carolina is on even having a fullback this year, because they're not going to throw a lot of guaranteed money out for a position they may not even use.
It's James Devlin from New England and Kyle Juszczyk. That's not right, but just well.
Yeah,
we'll
I don't know, something with a J. I remember I sent in the Slack chat today because as soon as I saw Tolbert got cut while I was writing the article, I pulled up SpotTrack's list of free agents, and I was like, yeah, I like this guy and Kyle, and then however the F you pronounce it, last name in there was my exact words.
I don't know. Do you guys think the Cruz has got a – yeah, I heard part of you guys talking about, but I'm thinking the Cruz may not have much left. He's had – you know, he had that big injury, and, you know, 30 years old is not old for a wide receiver, but maybe one that had a pretty significant injury a few years ago. And
I thought that the reason – because the connection with Gettleman was what brought it on, because
sure.
I was sort of a shoulder shrug on that. It was – you know, it didn't make a big impact in my mind.
He put up respectable numbers last year. I mean, considering they had Odell Beckham there and some of their other wide receivers, they have that rookie too, what's his face?
Sterling Shepard.
Yeah, they had Sterling Shepard too. So he put up respectable numbers as a third wide receiver, in my opinion. He still had some nice plays, some nice long touchdowns, so I think that he would be an upgrade over a guy like Philly Brown, which it's pretty clear that Carolina was trying to work Brown in the offense. He just wasn't doing a whole lot.
Well, you don't know what brought on the narrative, but there was word out of New York that, you know, one reason they were willing to get rid of him is because he didn't really go by the playbook. He didn't run the plays the way they were designed sometimes.
Well, that's not good. I mean, either way, like, even if that's true, even if it's not, his cap number was way too high for the Giants to keep him around. Like, so I could see why they got rid of him.
I know a couple of weeks ago we were talking about Kendall Wright and Pierre Garçon and even Deshaun Jackson is options. I think I'd probably prefer any of those three over Cruz. Although, yeah, I gotta admit I did not see the Giants play much last year.
Yeah, I would say if we end up with Cruz, it's because we didn't win on the negotiations with any of those three.
Mm-hmm.
And Wright may not have a large cap number to ask for because he wasn't really all that productive last season.
Talk draft just for a little bit here. So So I was looking at Mike Mayock's top five by position here, Durst, against your value board. You guys don't see eye to eye on everything.
No,
of course, Mayock doesn't have the best reputation.
Well, my last board was an attempt to have a consensus. So I did actually include Mayock's rankings, but since they already go 1 to 5, you know, and you know, some of these receivers probably goes like, you know, 35 deep.
Okay.
And, but my last one was supposed to be an attempt to make a consensus using a lot of Lance Zierlein's rankings.
I see that.
Matt Miller.
Yeah.
And anybody who's willing to go out there and. Anybody who's willing to go out there and, you know, put up, rankings to go from 1 to 20, yeah, I try to include that in the rankings. But, Max, I think, yeah, he's going to have some changes just like anybody else. He's always a little bit late to the party in a sense. You know, he's pretty spot on, you know, about as good as you can get when it comes to April. But this time of year, he's just sort of getting caught up. It seems like that he has other commitments during the year. He's not one of the guys that's just 12 months of the year studying the NFL draft like Kuiper or one of these other guys. He's got some other things he does for NFL Network. But I just kind of pulled his up and see if there's anything that really jogged my memory about things that are maybe going to stand out. And I guess Cam Robinson being he placed him in the guard category as opposed to the offensive tackle category. And, I guess you could say it makes sense because of his, his physical profile, just sort of a road grader type. But, without any other top-notch, offensive tackles and knowing that Bowles is overaged and Ramchick's coming off that hip surgery, I could still see Cam Robinson being drafted as offensive tackle.
Yeah, that's interesting. I didn't even notice that here. I was more looking on the skill positions. Yeah, he's got him at number two there, behind Forrest Lamp.
Yeah,
which
Mayock always seems to have a couple.
Go ahead, Brian.
I was going to say Mayock always seems to have a couple of head scratchers early on, as far as like the different positions he has certain guys playing, and I think he updates it as he sees how those guys interact with scouts and pro days and whatnot. But yeah, I noticed that too, and I was like, huh.
Well, I think he had Shaq as his top safety for a few months or something. Yeah, Shaq Thompson, I think a couple years ago, I think he came out and I think he was either, I'm pretty positive that Mayock had him as a safety, and then he might even have as a top safety for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right about that.
Yep. I was surprised where he put the wide receiver, too.
At the wide receiver?
I didn't catch that, Goose.
Yeah, he had, like, Zay Jones, he moved all the way up to number 5. And cut to number 4, which I thought was a stretch. I like Cup. I would like the Cup for on our team, but because of his, hands and getting open. But I don't think he's number 4 receiver in the draft.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that. I did come up with a consensus wide receiver rankings about a week ago, and. Based on that, I mean, Kupp and Zay Jones are pretty popular, but more like top 10 versus, top 5. Hopefully in the next day or two, maybe even tomorrow, I'm going to have an article coming out that's going to profile a couple of other wide receivers that are a little bit further down on the rankings currently, but might have a chance to raise in the rankings. Louisiana Tech's Carlos Henderson and Western Kentucky's Taywan Taylor. These are some guys that I think may be raising or end up becoming getting a combine bump after the NFL combine.
That's what I said. A lot of it will shake out after the combine, I think.
Yeah, and Goose, weren't you somebody who was kind of on Carlos Henderson kind of early? Or?
I haven't been telling everybody in the world what I've been thinking this year. You notice I don't post as much anymore and all. I've sort of been waiting on the combine and see where things are going out and just listening to everybody else. But I liked him.
Yeah, of course, I just stumbled across him when I was, ironically enough, trying to scout Taywan Taylor. So during the, I think it was like December 3rd, the Conference USA championship game, and it was, you know, it was Western Kentucky versus Louisiana Tech. And, yeah, I knew that Louisiana Tech had a safety that I kind of wanted to watch, and I wanted to watch Taywan Taylor. And then, you know, Henderson had himself a whale of a game. So between the two, between Taylor and Henderson, they actually combined for just short of 400 yards this evening.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, they basically both had right around 200 yards apiece and about eight catches apiece. So, yeah, one of them, Taylor, I think, averaged like 27 yards a catch, and Henderson averaged like 22 yards a catch in that game. Now, realize that the defenses on those teams are not great, and their offenses are pretty prolific. It was like 58-54 game. But, yeah, those two wide receivers, it was almost like a highlight tape for each of them.
Cup guy's pretty impressive.
He's good. I kind of considered him to be more of like a Jordy Nelson type. So while everybody else was kind of raising him after the Senior Bowl, I kind of lowered it a little bit because he measured about 12 pounds lighter and about another inch and a half shorter than is listed, which is not unusual. You know, I mean, people do get that exaggerated, but I knew about him, and so I was actually a little bit disappointed in his physical, you know, profile, even though he certainly looked good going against Desmond King and Jordan Lewis and some of these other guys during the Senior Bowl.
I think the guy that really hurt himself was the receiver from what is it, Washington State? Trying to pull his name out. I can't see right now. I had my other cataract surgery this morning, so I'm talking off the top of my. But
every day we talk to you. Luckily, you already have two eyes because now you've had them both in.
You talking about John Ross from Washington?
No, it's a guy from the West Coast that was. He was playing good all during the Senior Bowl practices, and during the Senior Bowl, he dropped like two or three balls. And I'm trying to remember the name, and it's just avoiding me right now.
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, I can't remember his name off the top of my head either. We actually talked to – I wrote about him because he was one of the interviews that the Panthers did during the Senior Bowl week. And just before the Senior Bowl, I actually took him completely off my board because I just decided I didn't think he was, you know, had the baseline, you know, or maybe baseline, but he just didn't have a lot of athletic traits that, you know, that really excited me.
I didn't like him as a game changer, but I think the Panthers need somebody that can catch the ball as, you know, move the chains. We've talked about that a couple of times. And I thought he was one, and then they said during practice he was catching everything in sight and then going to the game and just stub his toe. It was terrible.
Yeah, somebody will dig that up here.
Yeah, Gabe Marks is his name.
Yeah, that's it.
Dave Martin?
Gabe Martin.
Mark.
M-A-R-K-S.
So
he had almost 1,200 yards in that. He had 104 catches in 2015, but, you know, those stats went down a little bit, even though he had a pretty good quarterback, you know, throwing the ball around the yard there. You know, I mean, he's listed at 6'1", 190. He looks, you know, really thin. You know, he just doesn't really look that fast. So even when I did a kind of a preseason profile on him, I I said he just sort of seemed to be more of a product of a system, that somebody's going to catch the ball in that system. And, you know, it's just enough, yeah, there's so many passes that are getting thrown that somebody has to get targeted. And I just didn't see him as being a, you know, a real legitimate NFL receiver. Now, he could end up, you know, sticking on for a year or two or three, I suppose. And he does seem to have, you know, adequate hands, although very small hands. I don't remember the numbers, but I think he's one of those guys that the Senior Bowl end up measuring with, you know, 8.5-inch hands that sometimes ends up being a red flag for receivers. But he doesn't seem to.
What I picked up on him is I watched a few more of the West Coast games than I usually did, and I watched him play in 3 games. And he was awfully good about working the sidelines and catching the ball. And if Cam Newton doesn't do anything else, he throws a nice out to the sidelines. And I was thinking that's the kind of guy that could come in, and he would be a 7th round or maybe an undrafted free agent type player coming in, but he could make the squad for doing nothing but that.
I'm not seeing Zay. Is it Zay Jones?
Yeah, well, they probably got him as, what's his first name, Isaiah?
Yeah.
I even put a comment in one of the threads one time. I said, if you go to FanSpeak, they've got Zay Jones one place in like the 50s or 90s or whatever, and then they got an Isaiah Jones at 200 and something. It's the same player.
Oh.
It was funny.
Yeah, I think it is Isaiah.
I see an Isaiah. Oh, okay. Yeah, Isaiah Jones. I was getting confused.
Yeah, that's
Isaiah
Jones.
Ford. Okay, Isaiah Jones. So, second rounder. Yeah, that sounds about right. There's some good receivers in this draft. Some, you know, maybe not top 10 or top 20, but. I mean, some of these guys look good. All right.
I think there's going to be a lot of cornerbacks taken and a lot of safeties taken. And you can get some value in there.
Yeah, the defensive backs this year really looks like just a very deep class. You know, I mean, some that are really experienced in nickel, too. So, I mean, whichever way you want to go. Yeah, I know we started some of the guys, Herlnader, or, you know, he started talking a little bit about, you know, Lattimore. And, you know, and kind of started a conversation about whether or not, you know, the Panthers would still take a corner that early, given what they did last year. But Marshawn Lattimore for Ohio State, we kind of have a little bit of a conversation about him. And,
yeah.
But I think I'd rather wait a little bit later and, you know, get a third round guy, maybe a nickel.
I mean, look at the division we're in.
Goes.
Yeah, you know, look at the division we're in. We, you know, we got to slow down these passing offenses.
Yeah,
ahead,
as far as Lattimore goes, I had a really interesting conversation on Twitter with CP. I think Edgar was involved in it and somebody else. They were talking about Lattimore and saying, like, you know, if he's there, we should pull the trigger. Like, he shouldn't be there for when the Panthers pick. And the more I thought about it, it was like, he kind of reminds me a little bit of Chris Harris from the Broncos, like somebody who can jump inside and play outside. And like you said, Jack, you know, in the NFC South, most of the offenses have several weapons who can jump inside. And I could see him being the type of guy like the Panthers used Captain Munnerlyn, though obviously that wouldn't be out of complete necessity. It would be a good way to get the best guys the best guys to cover certain people on the field, because you could have a Lattimore jump inside and cover somebody like Julio Jones if they jump in the slot, keep Bradbury and Worley outside where they're most successful, and then the nickel back position is no longer a liability. So, is that with how important that nickel defense is to the Panthers, with how often they run it, I could definitely see Dave Gettleman picking him if he's still there.
I'll throw out a name there that I think the Panthers can get really cheap, and that's Jeremy Catrere I don't know if you've ever heard of him, from Middle Tennessee State.
I've heard of him. I have not watched his film yet at all.
You might, you, Jackson, you might think his name is Cutter because it's like C-U-T-R-E-R or something. It's pronounced Couture. But
okay.
He went to the Senior Bowl, but he was injured, so he couldn't play. And now it looks like his injury hasn't healed up, so he's not going to the combine. So he's not going to be very well publicized or out there to compete against the other guys. But he's 6 foot tall, and or six one. I can't remember. I know he's 6 foot at least. And I've watched a lot of his clips. I haven't seen him play in a full game, but I've seen several of his clips because I was looking at the small college guys, and he looked awesome. I think he'd be the perfect guy to come in and take the slot, take the nickel back. And with all this going on, he's going to be dropping down. I thought he was going to be like a fourth or fifth round pick, and I think he'll probably go maybe seventh or UDFA now.
Well, yeah, if you miss the combine and the Senior Bowl, then unless you just completely go nuts on your pro day, and I'm not too sure how many people are going to be at Middle Tennessee State's pro day. So I did get that college right, Middle Tennessee State.
It's Middle Tennessee State, yeah.
Yeah, so I tend to agree with you. I don't think he's going to be a high pick. And, of course, Gettleman, you know, with Stanford, and you know, he's shown you like the small town corners.
And I wish David Jones from Richmond, the safety from Richmond, had been healthy enough to play. He got pretty injured during the season, so he's been out, hadn't been able to play for anybody. I think he had a chance to be like a fourth or fifth round pick, and he'll probably go undrafted too. He's a free safety out of Richmond.
Yeah, when I did my last big board, again, that's more of a consensus, but I had Jones as my last safety in the fourth round. It's basically a fringe fourth, fifth round. Although,
and he hadn't played anywhere, I thought he'd probably drop way down.
Well, I probably wouldn't have him as high as I did if it wasn't for you talking about him since November.
Yeah.
I see Mayock's got Malik Hooker rated higher than Jamal Adams. Why do y'all think that is?
I think it's just a flavor thing, you know.
He's a what?
I mean, you got different flavors of wide receivers, and you got different styles of running backs, and I just think it's Hooker's more of a deep safety, and Adams is more of a box safety, and not that Hooker can't play up and Adams can't play back, but I think it's just kind of a different flavor of receiver. And
I think Hooker's going to be more the impact interception type, where Adams is going to be the more steady, more production type player, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and I tend to agree with that.
Mayock seems to really focus on consistency with a lot of guys, too, I've noticed.
Yep. All right. So what else? Let's see. I see I got somebody calling from Atlanta from a new number. I believe area code 678. 365, I think 678 is the Atlanta area. You're on the call if you want to join in. If not, I'll put you back on mute. Not a problem. Anyone there? Nope. All right.
I wonder if he heard what happened at the Super Bowl.
It's probably the Falcoholic listening in, man.
They're nice people, guys. Come on.
You know what? I finally ran into one of my good Falcon fan, and of course I had to say something about that. You know what? And I think this is going to be the party line for Falcon fans going forward. It was Shanahan's fault, so they're happy he's gone. Never mind that, you know, he transformed their offense into something that took them, you know, to the highest scoring, you know, offense in the league. He blew the Super Bowl and with his, you know, calling too many passing plays. I don't know.
Well, lest we not forget Rob Chudzinski.
Yeah.
Came in, had two. He had two good seasons with Carolina, with Cam, and like with a highly explosive offense, and went and got a head coaching gig, and then showed he wasn't really, you know, prepared for it. So we'll see what happens with Shanahan. It sounds like,
yeah,
based on what I've seen. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'll wait.
I was just gonna say, it seems like with Shanahan's scheme. Now, I haven't watched a lot of like Falcons games specifically to see how they operate their offense, more so just to watch the game, obviously. But it seems like a lot of things have to be going right for that offense to work.
I was just going to say, I think the Shanahan offense is worlds better than what you're going to see out of the Falcons under Steve Sarkisian. I think we mentioned this, in the last episode, but he had just been announced, I think, the day that we came on radio to be hired. He was the USC coordinator, offensive coordinator for the national championship game. He was the Alabama offensive coordinator for the national championship game after Lane Kiffin had left, and Sarkisian was fired from USC and had a stint in Washington for a while. But he's now, he's now the Atlanta OC, and not expecting big things from him.
Well, I think I told you guys that he was one that somebody had posted online and said he's a perfect fit for Atlanta after Alabama blew a fourth quarter lead in the national championship game.
Yep.
I forgot about that. Yeah, that's right.
Well, we'll see if it works out for him. They certainly have a good offense.
That was one of the better quips I've heard all offseason there, GC, when that came up.
I'll tell you a position in the draft that Durst might talk about that I just don't have a handle on is tight end. I really don't know where those guys are going.
But there's a lot of them, so, I've kind of been on record as being an O.J. Howard fan, but my one reason to consider, maybe we should look a little bit in a different direction is simply because there's so many other guys, so... you got the two, O.J. Howard from Alabama and David Njoku from Miami, that appear to be first-round picks. You got Evan Ingram from Mississippi, who's a little bit more of a Jordan Reed type, kind of short and undersized. He played a lot of sort of H-back. People kind of criticize him for being not a good blocker because he's, 230. But he's actually a pretty decent blocker if you send him in motion and you have him be like a – sort of a hybrid fullback type that will get out and on a running play, on a stretch play, and maybe, block for the TD. And you got Gerald Everett, South Alabama tight end, who's kind of a similar athletic profile to Ingram, a very, smaller guy. Sometimes I'm a small, like a bunches type of build. Bucky Hodges, 6'7" and maybe 6'6". Wide receiver, tight end, hybrid from Virginia Tech. Then you get down to Jordan Leggett. A lot of guys from Clemson, I think, are fans of Carolina, and some of them have kind of asked why Jordan Leggett's so low on the tight end rankings. And it's just because there's so many good ones in this class. So Jordan Leggett's a guy that maybe would have been a second round pick in any other year, but this year it's probably looking more like a late third, early fourth. He sure had a heck of a catch against Alabama. I mean, basically without that last catch of his, they probably don't win the national championship. It was a stretched out diving, just beautiful, beautiful catch. And then finally we get down to maybe the seventh tight end in this class, Jake Butt, who some people think may have been a second-round pick or maybe in the first tight end picked last year over Hunter Henry. Had he declared last year, he was eligible, but decided to go back to school along with Hodges and Ingram and Howard. So you go at least seven deep, and then you get some other guys that are interesting. Cole Hikutini, he's got a lot of fans because he played in the Louisville offense, and so Louisville had a really fun team to watch last year, and a lot of people, I think, really discovered Cole Hikutini and think he's a sleeper. Michael Roberts for Toledo, he's got, like, the biggest hands of any tight end in the last 5 years, at least by the Senior Bowl, and big guy. He led the nation in touchdown catches for a tight end with 15. Jeremy Sprinkle, of course, a lot of people know about him because he shoplifted in the Charlotte area Elk during his right before his bowl. And Jeremy Sprinkle from Arkansas was actually probably a pretty good candidate, tight end prospect, but now. Now a lot of people, are as high on him. Did you have any questions of any way in particular, Goose? Or?
Well, one of the guys that I hear about, but I haven't ever seen anything on him, is the kid Shaheen from Ashland that's invited to the combine.
Yeah, he's a former basketball player, and he's like 6'7" and like 270 something, 275. So.
I didn't know whether he was a pass catcher or a blocker or what's his shtick.
Well, I think people think he can block something because he's so darn big, but I do think he's a little bit more of a pass catcher from what I've been able to determine. But I wouldn't surprise me if he ends up being the biggest tight end, at least weight wise, in this draft, which is going to have some people at least thinking that that he's going to be a serviceable blocker. He's supposed to be a heck of an athlete.
Like I said, I see his name, but I've never seen a piece of film on him or anything else or really any deep comments other than just his name popping up here and there.
Yeah, and I think he declared early, too. So, he came from Ashland. So, I mean, I think it's like a Division II school. And then he's declared early. You just don't get a tight end from a Division II school declaring early too many times. His 2016 statistics were 57 receptions for 867 yards and 16 touchdowns. I just blacked out his name now. Yeah, the Toledo guy, what was his name again?
Roberts.
Michael Roberts, led the nation in touchdown catches by a tight end, but that wasn't talking about Division II or anything, so evidently Shaheen actually had more than he did. And for some reason,
there's another
transfer
guy, too, named Brown.
I'm sorry, Goose, what was
William
that?
Brown, Bill Brown, something like that. Shepherd.
Oh yeah, your Marshall connection there. Yeah, no, that's right, not Marshall, Shepherd College. All the scouts, all the media people want to say, okay, he's a tight end, but then he stayed a wide receiver during the Shrine Game, and he basically played wide receiver over at Shepherd, and he I guess wants to try to remain at that position, but he's like 250.
He might end up being an H-back.
Sure, yeah. Well, if he doesn't have the mentality or he's not embracing the fact that everybody wants him to become a tight end, I think an H-back has got to be the sort of the happy medium. He doesn't really show the interest in blocking or, wanting to transition to the position that makes his body type would fit into a little bit better.
Yeah, that's true. If he wants to play outside, he's not an H-back.
Yeah, but I think he's another one of those probably late day, you know, seventh round, maybe free agent pickup kind of guys. But, you know, name to consider.
Might be Canadian Panther. Is this newer? I got a restricted number. It says restricted. I don't know who that is. You can speak now. maybe not. All right, we'll keep this one open for a minute here. I see I got Vancouver Chris out there. I'll get to you here in a minute, buddy. We are almost at the top of the hour. Well, I don't know what the hell else we got to talk about. Except more draft. Certainly got the combine coming up. I think we'll probably do a show again next week, pre-combine, but Durst, who you? Of course, this Myles Garrett supposed to tear it up. Who else you think's gonna look good?
Well, I think there's gonna be a lot of changes in most of the the rankings that it typically always is. In the past, I think the cornerbacks they've always kind of it's a stopwatch position, and you see a lot of changes in rankings with the cornerbacks, but. Now that teams are wanting bigger corners and longer corners and long arms, and I'm not so sure that people are just looking at those 4-3 guys and automatically, bumping them up to the first round. I'm gonna kind of go out and say that Marlon Humphrey, there's a lot of people that are down on his tape because he doesn't always win at the catch point. So, the few times that he'll get challenged because the pass rush. And Alabama is so fierce, a lot of times people just didn't get a chance to even throw his way. But when they got those passes off against Marlon Humphrey, he didn't always look so good. That DeMaurier Stringfellow, if an Ole Miss caught one on him, and not John Ross, but the other guy who's not in the draft, I think his name's Pettis, Washington. He caught one. Mike Williams, of course, caught one, but that's no shame in that, but he's not always good in at the catch point, but he's a heck of an athlete. So he's the son of Bobby Humphrey, the former NFL first rounder and Alabama running back, and his mom was a track star as well. So I think Marlon Humphrey is going to get a huge combine bump. I say huge, I mean he's. He's already considered a first-round fringe guy. Yeah, I think he's going to be a very legitimate, maybe top 15 guy after the combine. Adoree Jackson's going to have the USC quarterback and slash wide receiver slash kick returner. He's going to have a great combine as well. He almost made the Olympic team in the long jump. The Tack McKinley that we've talked about a couple of times. On one of the posts, I put a note in there that said that I guarantee that Tack McKinley's not a second round pick because he's either going to fail his medicals and drop to the third round, or if his medicals are clean, he's going to be a top 15 pick. So he's a former high school track star. Every bit the athlete that Njoku is out of the tight end out of Miami that we've been talking a lot about, but
this is the wide receiver you're talking about.
Sorry, yeah, Tack McKinley's the edge rusher, the defensive end slash outside linebacker for UCLA, and so
I know who you're talking about now.
He's one of the guys I wasn't talking about because he was one of the guys I was watching. I had him as a first-round pick when nobody was talking about him. He's just so fast.
Takaris McKinley, right?
Right.
Yeah, Takaris, I think, is how you pronounce it. And
yeah, they call him Tack. Okay.
Yeah, I mean,
you want to see some good film, look at him at Southern Cal.
Yeah, I think
he was killing the tackles from Southern Cal.
Okay.
Yeah, he got one off Bowles too. The Garrett Bowles for Utah. Against Utah, he had 3 sacks in that game, but only one of them came off Bowles. With Bowles being, you know, potentially a top 15 pick himself, you know, that was, he had a good showing against Utah.
I saw something where John Ross said he ran a 4.3. That was written today.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's every bit the explosive athlete of a DeSean Jackson, and you know, I've actually had him in my first round for, I don't know, probably since, you know, like November or maybe even my September. But he's got some pretty concerning medicals. He had 2 torn ligaments in one of his knees a few years ago, and then he blew out his ACL, I guess it was 2015. Yeah, this is his first year back. But now he's going to have a labrum surgery right after the combine, or at least, you know, shortly after the combine. So he's a short, skinny guy, and I think there's going to be some concerns that he may not be able to hold up in the NFL. But, you know, I mean, certainly DeSean Jackson's had a long career at about the same body type. But you know, John Ross has already had quite a few injuries.
Another name you didn't mention was Peppers from Michigan. What do you think he's going
to
do?
Well, sure, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I've said a couple of times, I think he's going to test out almost exactly like Patrick Peterson. And, yeah, probably could have been a similar player had they moved him to quarterback when he was a, you know, a freshman. But instead they moved him around, the first 2 years. All 3 years they moved him around from corner to nickel to safety to linebacker. And just never got a chance to really develop at one position. So I'm a little – I wouldn't even say that I'm down on him. I just think he's going to take a long time to develop. I think he's going to have a lot of highlight plays, ESPN highlight, you know, Sports Center plays, but then you know, entities like Football Outsiders and PFF will end up grading him pretty low because, you know, he's going to make a lot of mistakes. I think Curtis Samuel is going to have a good combine. He's the Percy Harvin clone, the Ohio State wide receiver / running back. I think he'll do really well. Let me see what other names I got here. Yeah, it's also going to be a big combine for Derek Barnett because there's a lot of people who don't think he's that good of an athlete. And, you know, these people we already know are good athletes. Sometimes there's a question of whether or not these combines really help them if we already know they're good. But it's the people who surprise you. Derek Barnett's extremely – yeah, the Tennessee defensive end. He's an extremely productive guy in college, breaking Reggie White's sack record for career sacks at Tennessee. But there's definitely some doubters about him being a good athlete. Ryan Anderson, the Alabama outside linebacker, is another guy that very productive, you know, good high-profile team. But is he really that great of an athlete? He's really long and athletic. Yeah, we'll find that out. DeMarcus Walker. As another guy that would benefit from a strong combine, a little shorter, that not as long as people want out of their pass rushers, and definitely has some doubters amongst the scouting community.
What do you think of this, the tackle Antonio Garcia?
Well, he's a little light. You know, not everybody likes that, but I mean, he's coming from a small program like Troy that's not going to have the same type of weight room that Nebraska and Alabama and Ohio State and all these kind of places have. So the fact he's a little light doesn't concern me long term, but I don't think he's going to be a starter in year one. In addition to being a little bit light, you know, coming in, I think maybe 290-ish, you know, 293. Yeah, he's got a little shorter arms than some teams are going to want. But I think in this particular class, I don't think it's going to hurt him as much as it might have in other classes where there was a lot of prototypical offensive tackles to choose from. So I have him in my consensus ranking as a fringe third. Yeah, technically I have him in the third, but he's my first offensive tackle in the third round, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So he's my sixth offensive tackle on my consensus rankings. But honestly, for my personal rankings, I'm probably going to have him a little higher than that.
Yeah.
He made a lot of money in that Clemson.
I'm sorry, go ahead, GC.
I was just saying he made a lot of money in the Clemson game if you watched film of that game.
Yeah, I have. I agree with that.
Yeah, I'm looking over this Chad Reuter four-round mock. Yeah, it's pretty good. But it's got it starts with Fournette. You know, and I've already expressed my concerns about him, but, you know, maybe he does end up being the next Adrian Peterson. If he is, then, you know, this is a much better draft than I thought. But then he got Garcia at number 40.
Oh, that's
for the
right.
Panthers.
That's right. Okay. I just have to pull it up now. Yeah.
And then they got Butt. I do like Jake Butt. They got him in the third from tight end. He had a pretty good season.
I kind of want to knock both of those guys down around. You know, this is a deep tight end class, and you're coming off an ACL injury, and you weren't a great athlete anyway. But I agree with the people who say that he could have been the top tight end last year in a relatively weak tight end class, and, you know, pretty comparable to Hunter Henry, who had a very good rookie season with San Diego. But, you know, given the depth of the tight ends and the injury, I kind of see him being a late third, early fourth. And Garcia, I mean, it's not like I've seen a lot of him, but he didn't make as much headway in the Senior Bowl as some people predict. Roto-World's Josh Norris had Garcia as his number one prospect for the Senior Bowl and sort of predicted that after the Senior Bowl, he was going to be on everybody's, you know, risers list. And he really didn't. He had a pretty, I'd say disappointing for those that had high expectations, and for those that really had no expectations, and then he kind of was somebody who, you know, caught those people's eyes. And then in the fourth round, they have Kevin King, who I could kind of see him going higher than the fourth round. He's probably the tallest corner, probably the longest arms. He's had a couple of really spectacular interceptions, you know, it's a highlight interceptions last year. And if he runs a fast 40 time, I could see him, almost want to switch him and Jake Butt, you know, have Butt in the fourth and King in the third.
Well, you're talking about King, really. Yeah, what do you think about McCaffrey? I see him, he's so weird. He could fall anywhere from 15 to 50.
Sure, yeah. I mean, I just kind of penciled him in that back end of the first round ever since last summer. I never took him out of there. He kind of feels to me like the kind of guy that a playoff team gets, and like a New England, you know, and it's like, oh, how did they get him, you know? And it just kind of feels like the type of guy that always ends up on a playoff team. And, you know, one of those, there's playoff teams that make it year after year.
Well, I actually like him because he's a production guy, but I don't think he's going to show that well at the combine. I don't think he's that fast. He just plays ball. Like I said, he's a production versus talent guy.
I think he'll do well in like three cone, the three cone drill. The three cone drills and a couple of those other tests that are not as high profile. I think he'll do well in better, more so than the 40.
I can see that. Like I said, I just like the way he plays, but I don't think he's the outstanding athlete that some of the other guys are.
I think the gauntlet, I think he's going to be awesome in the gauntlet. You know, anyone who likes to watch, you know, the more than just the 40 times at the NFL combine, that's the wide receiver / running back drill where they're catching passes, you know, from different angles, and I think they're excel at that. So I think he's going to have a pretty solid combine, but not, he's not necessarily going to be a combine riser, or, you know, I don't think he's going to rise into, you know, top 15 round, yeah, but maybe, you know, late 20s, early 30s. Oh, yeah, and of course, there's Obi Melifonwu, who was, you know, a Senior Bowl riser that, you know, he's gonna supposedly do very well at the NFL Combine, the safety for Connecticut. And then Buda Baker, I mean, he's going to be super quick. He's going to be fast and do really well at three cones and all those types of, you know, change of direction drills. But he is small, and he's going to measure really small.
You think he's going to make it into the first round?
Yeah, you know, this is just such a deep class at both corner and safety, because I think some people might see him as a corner. Me personally, I really like him as a nickelback. So I could conceivably put him in my cornerback rankings. But, you know, there's so many good corners and so many good safeties, I have a hard time thinking that Baker makes it. But I think he's very comparable to Carl Joseph, who – what was he, like 19th last year to the Raiders? And they're both very similar, you know, similar-sized, undersized safeties.
I think, and he was a first-round talent, but this draft he's probably going to be in the second round with all the talent in front of him.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm saying. And I mean, you know, I think Baker might even be a little bit better than Joseph. I think Joseph was a little harder hitter, maybe more of a, you know, maybe just a better tackler overall, but I think Baker's a little bit better athlete. And of course, Joseph was coming off a torn ACL, and Baker's healthy. So I actually consider Baker to be a better prospect than Joseph at this point, but Joseph is probably going to be, well, was picked at 19th. And I don't think Baker's going to go that high. Another cornerback I think is going to be a little bit of a riser, and this is a hard name to pronounce, but Chidobe Awuzie, and he's the Colorado corner. I think he's, I don't think he's an outstanding athlete, but so far he doesn't seem like too many people are talking about him. And he had like 5 or 6 sacks as a junior. So not 2016, but in 2015. So he's a really good nickel prospect. He had a lot of reps inside as a nickel. And so again, if we don't want to get somebody like Lattimore and number 8, and we want to get maybe somebody who's more accustomed to playing nickel, you know, he would be a great prospect. Desmond King's another one of those guys that's not expected to test well, that may end up falling, or, you know, maybe he salvages some stock. So Desmond King out of Iowa and Chidobe Awuzie out of Colorado, really good nickelback prospects that aren't expected to test as well at the combine. One corner that should test well is Fabian Moreau for UCLA. Yeah, you know, we talked about Tack McKinley from UCLA. Fabian Monroe's not going to be a 4.3 guy, but I mean he's a good body for a corner, and yeah, I think just athletically, you know, all the numbers I think is going to come out pretty similar to somebody like Lattimore. So you can almost call him like a poor man's Lattimore. Fabian Moreau, I think, is a fourth year senior, where Lattimore is a redshirt sophomore. So I think there's going to be some more perceived upside with Lattimore. And obviously some better tape at this point, but I think you just look at height, weight, speed. Yeah, I think Fabian Monroe is going to be his equal, but he's not going to be as highly regarded coming into the draft.
Moreau played in the Shrine Bowl, and I didn't think he looked that good. But then you don't know. You know, playing after a week of practice is not a good thing to judge everything by.
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy that probably should have dominated. I really didn't see the Shrine Bowl, or, you know, pay as much attention to those practices as I did the Senior Bowl. Usually there's only about 2 or 3 people that get drafted, you know, above the 4th round, or, you know, top – probably about 3 people will get drafted that played in the Shrine Bowl that in the top 100. But I would think he's probably one of those 3.
What do you think of – the defensive end, Deshaun Hall, I think.
Yeah, I like that. I've had him as a second-round pick pretty much this entire year. I've always liked Deshaun Hall. And there was at least one game where Garrett was hurt that people will sometimes say, well, the reason that Hall does so well is everybody has to key in on Garrett. But there was at least one game where Garrett didn't play. I think there might have been more that people were able to key in. Offensive coordinators and the offensive line was able to key in on Hall, and he still performed well. He doesn't get as much respect, including our community mock off season that we did. He, I think, went like sixth round in that. But I really like Deshaun Hall. I don't think he's a first round pick, but I do think he's a second round pick and pretty comparable to Kevin Dobb, or is it Dobbs from Clemson that went to the top of the second last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you're looking for maybe a small-time guy, Youngstown State's Derek Rivers is a pass rusher that I have a feeling maybe the 3-4 teams might be higher on him than the 4-3 teams. He's a little undersized, but Derek Rivers from Youngstown State, I believe the old Nebraska coach that got fired, I think the coach now at Youngstown State now. I can't think of his name off the top of my head, but... One more guy that could end up having some – I just think he's got a lot of fans in the Carolina area is Elijah Hood, and the running back for UNC. I think he's going to have a good combine if he's healthy. I'm not too sure if I understood exactly what happened. He said he was going to – he didn't play in the bowl against Stanford, and then he said he was going to come back to school, and then he announced he wasn't going to go back to school, and he was going to declare for the draft, and – he did not have a good season. I think a lot of that just was UNC becoming a pass-happy offense under Trubisky and the quartet of wide receivers. It was really, really good. But Hood did not have a good season. I think he could make up some ground with a strong NFL combine. Joe Williams is another running back from Utah who should have a very strong combine. He's projected to run a very fast time, but he is a little overaged, and he's the guy that retired from college football only to come back after the two guys that were ahead of him on the depth chart ended up getting hurt. And then he tore it up the last half of the season, going for 200 yards game after game. And so Joe Williams is a very polarizing prospect because a lot of people saw him on tape and said, this is a good guy. Yeah, this is a heck of a prospect. And other people, including myself, kind of can't get it out of my head that he retired from football and wonder, if it was just a lack of love for the game or if he was that injured, and is he really going to be able to hold up in the NFL? Is he going to be injured, rookie year? And oh, one more, KD Cannon, the wide receiver from Baylor. I just kind of saw him on my list here, and he's a guy that is – he's going fifth round on almost everybody's draft board. And coming into the season, I had him as a potential first-round pick. You'd be replacing Corey Coleman, who was a first-round pick in that high-flying Baylor offense. But Baylor's high-flying offense kind of got grounded by, the controversy that went there and the coaching staff getting fired and the quarterback getting hurt. So KD Cannon is a little smaller than the Corey Coleman, but he's a very, very fast, quick twitch guy that I think is going to have a really good combine. So again, if we're looking for wide receivers that are not first and, not first round picks, Mike Williams and not Corey Davis, and maybe we're not looking at second round kind of guys like Coop, Cooper Kupp, or possibly John Ross if he falls that far. But if we're looking at maybe at 72 or that late third round comp pick that we're supposed to get, then there may be a KD Cannon, a Taywan Taylor, a Carlos Henderson. You know, these are some guys that all three of these guys should have a really nice NFL combine and probably raise their draft stock a little bit.
See, I went ahead and got Vancouver Chris on the line. I don't know if he's still out there. I'll leave him open here if he wants to chime in.
Hey Jackson.
Hey, what's up?
Not much.
We got about, we're down to 9 minutes. So sorry about that. Thanks for hanging on out there. Didn't know if you had any Panther topics you want to bring up? Or?
I did actually see a really good article on the Charlotte Observer about Tolbert talking about his release.
Oh, yeah?
I'm sorry, about who?
Tolbert talking about
Tolbert.
His release.
Oh, okay.
What do you say?
Yeah, and it, like, I believe Rivera, like, after he finished his, like, in the gym, Rivera told him to come up to see Gettleman, and he said it was very professional, and, like, he was obviously disappointed with the whole outcome of the situation, but he said, like, it's a far cry from what happened with, like, Steve Smith, D'Angelo Williams.
Colbert's been through it before, though. Yeah, I think he was, how did he leave San Diego again? Was that just a free agent deal, or?
Yeah, I think so.
Like, I mean, he wasn't cut. He just signed for a better offer, right?
Yeah. They let him his contract expire, and he walked. I mean, that's good. You know, maybe they've learned how to cut somebody and not piss them off.
Yeah. Oh, and did anyone hear about Greg Olson's brother?
Oh,
Kevin
yeah.
Olson? Yeah, that's...
Yeah, I almost posted on that, but I decided not to. Yeah. If all they say is true about him, it's not good for him. And that's some pretty bad stuff he's being accused of, that's for sure. It's like, gosh, you know, you got an older brother who's like a model citizen practically, and little brother can't stay out of trouble.
I did not hear about that.
That's too bad, though. I mean, even though he got benched this past season, he looks like a pretty decent quarterback. So, you know, if not all this off-the-field stuff, you know he'd get a look at the NFL and could make some money, but, hell, he'll be lucky to even get a tryout at this point. Assuming it's college.
How many schools did he go to? Like four, didn't he?
Yeah, it was just awful. Yep. He had to keep leaving. I know one. He went to his second one and didn't even play it down, and they cut him or ditched him.
There's a red flag right there.
Yes, he began his career at Miami, huh?
Yeah. And I want to say 2 weeks ago on this show, I was watching the Fournette tape, and I said he reminds me of Bo Jackson, and I'm just now on NFL.com. I didn't even realize, I had not read this before, but their NFL comparison happens to be Bo Jackson.
Yeah, Deerline just does the profiles for him.
Huh?
Lance Zierlein does the profiles for them, and yeah, I saw where
he does an NFL comparison. Yeah, yeah. I think that's a pretty good comparison. I mean, he's a home run hitter. He's got this huge size, and with blazing speed, and love to run people over. Let's just hope if we draft Fournette, he lasts a little longer than Bo Jackson.
Well, Bo is much more durable in college than Fournette's been.
That's true.
Yeah, and supposedly that was just a very fluky injury, and I think I saw something on some kind of TV show, maybe it was a 30 for 30, saying that kind of injury, if it happened now, would not have been a career-ending injury.
What happened to Bo Jackson?
Jackson.
Yeah. I think it may have been on that 30 for 30 that they said that would not have been a career-ending injury for Bo Jackson if that happened now. That they got ways to help those kind of things.
Yeah, he played late 80s and only lasted 4 seasons, yep.
That was funny how he ended up in Oakland.
No, he was with the L.A. Raiders.
Always Oakland. I have a hard time with that.
I saw him play baseball.
Well, did they officially move to Vegas?
Oakland's talking about moving to Vegas.
Yeah, I know. I'm just. Did that actually go through? I don't remember.
I don't think.
No, they still talking.
Okay.
Now I guess San Diego's going to L.A.
Yeah. That one confuses the hell out of me. I can see the Raiders going to Vegas because that just, seems like a fit. But then why would then you got the Chargers going up to L.A. just a season after the Rams go in there? It just seems stupid. And how San Diego, the city, could let them leave.
They can't get anything passed. They've run things through there for the last 3 years for stadium, and it's failed every time.
Yeah, they were talking about that even like 12 or 13 years ago. I lived in San Diego for about half a year, and they were talking about that even then, about the possibility of San Diego leaving. And
they had a referendum this year that the mayor and the city council and everything supported it, and the NFL supported it, and ended up getting like 40% of the vote for and 60% against.
We are down to our last minute here, fellas. Glad Brian contacted me about doing a show. I was debating whether to skip it and wait for right before the Underwear Olympics, but I'm glad we did. But tell you what, we're just going to go ahead and wrap it up, guys. I appreciate you dialing in, GC, Brian, Durst.
Are you going to be running a 40 this year, Jackson?
No, but I would love to see some videos of that. Maybe Tater will do another one. I still think his post where he did his own combine is one of my all-time favorites on CSR.
Yeah, that was a fast.
Yeah.
I don't remember
that.
He
on the damn bench press, though. Tater's a big boy. He's strong, man. I think he did 25 reps or something. I was like, damn.
Yeah, he hung in there with those guys.
Yeah, he did. All right. Well, we'll see you next week, guys. Y'all have a good one.
Have a good week.
Bye.
All right, bye.